chips it ahead. Matthews, empty net. There it is! There it is! Number 34 has got 50. Move over, leans. Chucky and Squid. Big Pappy's on the board.
You know, I knew I was going to be excited when Austin Matthews scored 50, but I knew I could not match the enthusiasm of our wonderful colleague, Joe Bowen. Great job on the call there, as he always does, but he really hammers home the big moments. You know, it's funny, our colleague Jim Ralph was saying when he got 40, it was against the empty net in Pittsburgh. I remember Bowen's call very, very well that night. It was a big Curtis McElhinney stop, but we're getting way ahead, or actually behind of ourselves. We need to stick with the current times. Leafs, 7-3, winners at home. Gordo, we always talk about starting the postgame show with a walk to the subway. We might never get off the subway because we have so much to talk about tonight. This is just one of those nights where you are absolutely buzzing in the building and you carry it with you leaving.
Yeah, and everyone stayed till the end. Like, it's one of those games people would get the jump to go to the subway. This was fun. This was fun. And this is a horrible loss for the Winnipeg Jets, first of all. They're up 2-0, and they're making it. This could be what does it for them. But for the Toronto Maple Leafs, first as a team, just a real dominating performance. And it's funny, when Matthews scored in the empty net, it felt like saying, was there really any difference? Yeah. I mean, two nights of two goaltenders that really didn't have great nights as well. But the fans were waiting. They were waiting for some fisticuffs. They got that at the end. They didn't quite get it all, like Wayne Simmonds. Oh, man, come on. You got to, like, Logan Stanley, after what you did last time, putting the belt on and that, you got to show up for that. But the big one was they started the Austin chant. And then when he scored, it's like people didn't know what to throw on, right?
So we have to do something.
So you had a nice array of clothing and different attire that went on and kind of dragged it out, which the part I liked about it was it really dragged out the applause.
Did.
Like, you know, the Scotiabank Arena gets a rap and sometimes deserve it. It's not one of the more raucous, loudest buildings of the 32. And in this case, it was. It was really, really wonderful.
Well, that's the thing. People, you know, we always talk about, oh, what are the crowds like in this building? It's a bit of a quiet atmosphere. You give this crowd something to get excited about, and they had 100-somethings to get excited about. There was the, you know, our colleague Jeff Merrick. He always goes with the great line of, you know, you don't always need the fight, but you need the threat of the fight. And the threat of the fight was kind of lurking all throughout the evening. You finally get it at the end. Clifford and Dylan, they go. Those are the two guys who went the last time. That was a really, really spirited bout. The fact that it comes right off the back of Matthews getting 50. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game and I'm going, I mean, again, this crowd wants three things. They want a Leafs win, they want a fight, and they want 50 goals. And check, 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 everybody's happy tonight. And the fact that they kind of all came in rapid succession there, this building was buzzing, buzzing. Now, you know, one thing I want to bring up about Wayne Simmonds at the end there, I don't think it's the end. Oh, you know what? We're going to hear from Austin Matthews, and then I'll give you my thoughts on probably Austin Matthews.
You know, just the energy and the atmosphere tonight was pretty special. So, like I said before, I'm really fortunate to play with some pretty amazing players, you know, some pretty good teams throughout these 6 years. And, I mean, it means a lot.
Did it feel like you had so many chances? Did it feel like it might not happen tonight?
I don't know. I just keep playing, keep shooting. I mean, obviously, you know, I had some good looks, and I don't know if I ever really envisioned it being an empty netter goal, but, you know, I'll take it. Goal's a goal. So, like you said, I had some good chances tonight, just didn't go in. And, you know, fortunately, that last one did.
How would you describe the reaction of your teammates when you walked into the room?
Wet. I mean, I was pretty soaked, a lot of water and stuff. But, you know, it's just, it's awesome. Like, just love and support from all these guys. We've got an extremely close group. And, so, you know, this, you know, obviously doesn't happen without all these guys on this team. And so it means a lot.
You touched on it, but, the score at home was big. You guys are going on the road for four games after. You're glad to get it out of the way, I guess, here.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I think it's just a lot, you know, it's just really special to be able to do it here and in front of all the fans. And, like I said, just, you know, the energy, the atmosphere and, you know, all that kind of just goes into it, you know, it just makes it that much more fun. So, you know, these are obviously some important games for us coming up. And so it'll be nice to enjoy this one. But, you know, we'll turn the page and get ready for this road trip.
You're a young guy with a lot of time left. But I'm wondering, do you think about your legacy at all at times like this? I mean, this is a storied franchise. It's had a lot of great players. And, you know, what you did tonight basically has put you among those guys. Do you ever sort of ponder that at all?
Not too much. I just try to stay present. I just try to do my thing. And I mean, maybe when I'm done playing, I can think about that stuff. But right now, obviously, I have a job to do, and it's not finished yet. So I just want to keep playing, stay focused on what needs to be focused on, and just stay present.
Thanks, there is the most recent 50-goal scorer in franchise history. Gord, you have, of course, a long history with this franchise. Not many guys have been able to crack that club. We heard Bonesy, rhyme them off. Of course, we go back to Rick Vive. That's the one everybody's chasing with 54. Not that far away now. But just can you put this in perspective, just how special this season is and how special that guy is?
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate that worked with the team when Rick Vive scored three 50-goal seasons. And I hope his name gets kicked around a bit and remembered and appreciated for what he did. Then Gary Lehman, his 50 was a big reason Calgary was attracted to him in the Doug Gilmore trade. And then Dave Andrechuk, it was kind of a 50-50 split that he did, some with Buffalo and some with Toronto. So I certainly was either working with the team or broadcasting. So it's been a long time, Brent. Like, it's been for a guy like yourself,
yeah.
You don't remember those so much firsthand. So I think that's the part that makes it special. He's done it in way fewer games than the others have. And, just that question, and probably he's too young to think about his legacy and that he's got so much hockey ahead of him. But it just adds more and more to a chance to be the greatest Leaf ever, and that's no slight to anybody else that's played for the Toronto Maple Leafs before. And they're on the road for a while, so I'm glad he got it here tonight, because he would have got it somewhere on the road. And I'm looking back, I think Rick Vive got all three on home, which was neat, because it was neat. The build, the more smaller, intimate Maple Leaf Gardens rocked on those nights with not very good Maple Leaf teams, and this one, and as I say, it was fun. It made for a fun ending.
Yeah, something tells me, of course, the Leafs' next game is Saturday on the road in Philly. We'll have that for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network. And something tells me the Philly faithful wouldn't have been as embraceful of Austin Matthews getting his 50. Honestly, it was, look, we all would have loved, they had that back-to-back power plays in the first period. We all would have loved him to get it there and, get it over with, for lack of a better term. But the fact that it just kind of lingered over the whole game, the Leafs were playing great. It was a fun back-and-forth game. There was the threat of the fight involved. There was the threat of 50. It's just the fact that you kind of hit both marks makes it even more special. But just a game, it's a regular season game. It is game 60 whatever it is, or 50 whatever it is, of the regular season. We're in the middle of the week. It's a Thursday night, and it feels like it means so much more, because it does. And there's so much to get to from the game. We could talk about Schalgren and the D pairs, and hey, William Nylander, let's talk about him a little. He played well tonight, but it's just the feeling here tonight, the buzz in the building, I just can't quite get over it.
Yeah, and early on there wasn't much of a buzz. Like to break down the game, the Maple Leafs are down 2-0, Giordano got undressed in one of them. Schalgren didn't play it great. Schalgren then on the wraparound got caught. So all of a sudden there's nothing going on here. And you can't get that physicality. So you're playing Wayne Simmonds and Kyle Clifford. They ain't biting.
Yeah.
And right now they're just going on with a job to win a hockey game they really needed to win. And then the Maple Leafs just kept pressing and pressing. And, much like they did the other night in Boston, just that kind of firepower, the skill, the speed, the balance, scoring, all coming to fruition for the Maple Leafs. And that side element of Simmonds and Clifford still getting out there, and finally at the end it happened. Clifford got in the fight, as he said, with Dylan, and then Logan Stanley, come on, he didn't take it from Wayne Simmonds, where last time he was skating off with the belt on in Winnipeg and they gave him the player of the game thing. And that's what they talk about, the old days bulletin board material. Mm-hmm. And certainly the Maple Leafs stored that, and all those things and other factors bit the Jets in the butt.
Yeah, and I'm happy you brought that back up, because I wanted to bring this up. This happened at the end of the last Jets game, if memory serves me correct, where it was getting exactly like it looked tonight. You've got Kyle Clifford fighting the exact Brendan Dillon that he fought last time, and Wayne Simmonds is jawing with someone at the faceoff circle, and they say, 10 minutes, you're done, get out of here. And that is all fine and dandy if that actually diffuses things and that actually takes the runaround element out of the game. the very next shift, when Clifford's in the room because his night is done and Simmons is in the room because his night is done, the first thing that happens is some guy takes a run at Giordano. They immediately take a run at Liljegren right after that. And again, now you can say, look, there have to be more than two players on your team that can stand up for yourself. Yes, absolutely. But it's just we worry so much about game management, and this is the second time this has happened against this Jets team where it feels like they are saying, yes, let me manage the game and take all the people who do that for the Leafs away from them.
Yeah, and this is the game the Leafs managed, you know, and that's and the Jets out of frustration at the end. And yeah, I know what you mean, because I like the Jets team. That's the kind of stuff you call kind of sucky or whatever you want to call it. And if the Leafs were to do it too, and there's certain players at the end, that always ticks me off, you know. And you know, here you're seeing Clayton Keller out 4 to 6 months, not through a cheap shot at all, but from Arizona, but just the fact, the severity of injuries and things that can happen. It's big men by and large. It's a lot of equipment, and it's a very fast game, and bad things can happen if someone is out headhunting.
Yeah, you mentioned the Keller play, and obviously, you know, you hope he's better. That's a scary injury, and luckily this didn't happen tonight. But and you're gonna say, of course you bring him up. Michael Bunting had a nasty fall into the end boards there, and it looked pretty reminiscent of the play. Now obviously doesn't quite have the wheels going into it that Keller does, and it's a bit of, you know, unfortunate luck for Keller there. But I definitely had that play in my mind when I saw Bunting take a fall there. Leafs picking up a win tonight. They get the touchdown. 7-3 is the final at home over the Winnipeg Jets. Austin Matthews joins the 50-goal club. He does it on an empty netter. Fun night here at Scotiabank Arena. Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick will continue to break it down on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network. Leafs Nation postgame, Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick here, perched above the ice at Scotiabank Arena, watching them take down ads, and man, there are a lot of ads here, getting their money's worth down here at Scotiabank Arena. The Leafs getting their money's worth on Austin Matthews. He becomes the 10th American-born player to score 50 goals, of course joining a very, very illustrious list of Leafs. He's still chasing the all-time single-season record, though, still some time to catch Rick Vive and his 54 goals. You know, William Nylander had a pair tonight. Look, it's Austin Matthews night, it's fight night against the Jets. I don't feel like I did him a disservice by not mentioning it till now. We should probably talk about it. William Nylander, he was the focus of conversation. Now look, here's the thing with Nylander. Still have one or two plays a game where you go, oh, let's see what Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe thinks about that.
In that third period, you know, they're encouraging him and pushing Austin. I thought it was great, and it's good to, you know, to see it, see them, you know, the fans have that moment for Austin to have that accomplishment here on home ice is great. And maybe the best play of the day is David Camp hitting the post and keeping the game alive for us.
It was brought up down. Okay. Was Austin coming off the ice with the goalie pulled? Like, I don't know, was he going to stay out there as long as it took? Or was it...
No, he was just about getting to the end of his shift, so he made it count.
But you know, the guys getting it together after going down 2-0, Sheldon, what turned it for you guys?
Well, probably the biggest thing is we just had a lot of clock left, you know, and we could find ourselves. We didn't start well. I mean, not even close to the same level of intensity and speed that we have played with here in the last three games prior to tonight. So that was disappointing, and we paid for it, you know. So obviously getting the bounce to go to make it 2-1 coming out of the first, you know, before they get a chance to get their third, that was a big moment. And then tying the game, of course, you know, we don't really look back from there, with the exception of, you know, we get down on that power play, but then we strike back right away with John's goal. That was a really good sign for me that, you know, we were going to be able to gather ourselves and find a way. So to score six tonight plus the empty netters, despite not playing particularly well, it's a really good sign, a good win.
You talked a lot about your penalty kill and the offense you're getting, especially in the last few games. Can you just talk a little bit about Kinwell and Mikheyev and how they seem to be clicking?
Yeah, it's great. They're recognizing that the speed that they have, the length that they have, to close quickly. They both got long arms, long stick that can get on pucks. It was great effort and great play by Pierre to get it to Mickey, and then Mickey with the poise to settle the puck and got a great finish. That was a great goal and a very important one.
Willie at his best, I know it was on the power play, but when he gets to the net like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's where he scores a lot from that space. So getting there is important. That's why he could play different spots of the power play, obviously, but with the personnel that we have, it's a good fit for him to be down there. Teams are really aggressively closing on our flanks right now. You know, where Mitch and Austin are, there's not a lot of shot opportunities available there. Austin had a couple today that he was able to step into, but generally there's not a lot there. You look at a lot of our power play goals here in recent games, it's just about getting pucks by that layer and delivering it to the net and letting John and Will go to work there. So, you know, we got another couple tonight, you know, just doing that.
Austin said there's a lot more to do for him and the team the rest of the way, a lot of hockey to go, another sign of his maturity. He's not getting too caught up in the record chase.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's focused. He knows what we're trying to accomplish as a team, and he knows what his role is and the opportunity he has for our team, and he's delivered on that all season long. It's a great individual accomplishment for him, no doubt. So as much as he will downplay it, as I would expect, given that I know he's focused on other things, other team-related things, it is important to acknowledge that it's a pretty special thing. I mean, it's been a long time since a Leaf has scored 50. That in itself is special. There's been a lot of great players that have played here, so I think it's nice that the fans were able to acknowledge us here tonight and give him that moment. And our team appreciates it too. I mean, our team contributes to Austin's success as well, as much, and he contributes to others, of course, too. But it all goes hand in hand. You know, I'm more than happy to give Austin the credit he deserves through this. He's having an unbelievable season.
Do you think this puts him, Sheldon, in with those great players that you're talking about and that this franchise has had? Do you think he's now a member of that sort of group?
I think he was there long before tonight, but it certainly, helps in terms of the record books and all those kind of things. But this won't be the last time we have an opportunity to talk about him doing something special.
What do you think of what you got out of your fourth line tonight?
I was happy with it. You know, we had lots of energy, lots of physicality. In each period, I thought they had great shifts, great moments that really allowed the crowd to get going and build less energy. You know, in the first period, it was a scoring chance. It was a puck to the net and some traffic and rebounds and things like that. And then there was some physicality after that. So we were happy with what we got from that. It was a tough game. They didn't play their fourth line much, the Jets, and made it a little bit harder to get them out there as much as I maybe would have liked to, but I thought they did a good job even when some of the matchups weren't optimal.
Thanks.
There is Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe, very, very happy with the path Austin Matthews has set upon in his NHL career. I think that kid's going to make something of himself. 50 goals tonight, joining an illustrious list of Leafs to do so again. He's still chasing Rick Vive, wants to set that single-season record. You know he did. Leafs also taking care of business tonight as a team. 7-3 is the final at home over the Jets. We will continue to break it down here. Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick will be back after this on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs pick up a big win at home. They're rolling now, wins in four of their last five. The only outlier there, that stinker against the Canadiens. A 4-2 loss there. The other big news, Austin Matthews with his 50th of the season. William Nylander nearly had the hat trick. We know he had the two goals. He really, really came close to the hat trick there in the third. Had a couple of great, great looks at it, including one that probably would have been offside. So maybe you didn't get too excited about the first one there. Myself, Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick alongside me. We'll bring in our producer, Sam McKee. McKee, I mean, great night. You love a rockin' barn. Felt like that was what we got tonight. Well, what did you make of tonight's game?
Yeah, crowd was awesome. Just awesome. And, you know, they were, like, really into it. You could kind of feel, for lack of a better term, they kind of wanted some blood.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a bit of a greased-up crowd. Rowdy on a Thursday, you know.
Felt like Saturday.
Yeah, it was a warm day today. People are feeling some kind of way. They came in here looking for 50 goals and a couple punches, and they got both. So I love being here on nights like tonight. I usually have the headset on when I'm up here with Bonesy and Ralphie, but I took it off the last 5 minutes of the game to kind of hear the crowd because I really thought they were going. And they provided a spark. And, yeah, David Kampf, MVP for his little muffin backhander off the post that that set up Auston Matthews having his 50th into an empty net later in that shift.
Tell you, it's boy, I like Auston saying the team was lit, and he meant like general entertainment lit. That was what he was talking about.
Maybe the other version will come later. But
and I'll tell you, the other is boy, we sit here and we talk about, we love seeing the friends and family because it's neat, right? And the Seattle Kraken, they had a big game here, which they haven't had many of them. Their one visit.
Mark Giordano was probably trying to sublet places while he was doing that. I think he got traded like a week later.
But they were ecstatic, like they won the Stanley Cup. And here, this is the most sedate, somber, quietest Winnipeg Jets friends and family. Like, they don't even come low. They're weighted up high. It's like a funeral or something. Yeah. And anyway, for them, I mean, that could be their season. Also, keep in mind, Auston Matthews missed the first three games of the season and got off to a slow start.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, it wasn't like he scored 14 goals in the first 10 games. Like, it was one you kind of thought, I'm not so sure he'll battle for the Rocket Richard Trophy. I really did, because all of a sudden, a bunch of guys were just scoring a ton of goals. But good for Auston.
Well, yeah, Draisaitl jumped out to, he had 20 in his first 11 or 12 games or something like that. He just got off to such a tear, and then Matthews was hurt, and then he had the slow start, and you're sitting there going, okay, maybe it's not the Rocket year. You still think he's going to have a great year, and it's just never again, never ever again will anybody in this market say, oh, it's not his year to win the Rocket. He can spot Draisaitl basically 15 goals, and he's right there leading things now. You know, Gord, you mentioned all the family and friends there. I do see at least one family and friend of the Jets players wearing an Auston Matthews jersey. So shout out to whoever
that is.
Well,
I was going to say, there's nothing worse, you know, when you're going up there, okay, and your little annoying nephew, Johnny, okay, you know, come on, like at least
God
the parents should say, take off your Auston Matthews, you know, particularly if Shifley or whoever it is paid for the tickets.
Yeah, that would not be what he would want to see.
Thing, like, where Elaine, oh, where's the, hat, the where's Orioles, the Orioles
sure,
hat, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so you exactly. Take it off.
Exactly.
That's exactly that. Okay, so we've done a great job focusing solely on the positives tonight. Mm. We got blood. We got 50 goals. We had a fun game. We had some questionable goaltending here tonight. Now, first things first, I will say the third period, I thought Sjogren looked much better, much more confident.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, that was not a big bar he was leaping over to look more confident than he did in the first two periods. I'll give him credit for battling at the end there, but that is not a game that inspires, for me, a ton of confidence in him as the Leafs goalie.
Yeah, I thought the Leafs did a really great defensive job, and they went out to that 2-0 lead the Jets did, and it was their only two chances of the game.
Yep.
Went in the net, and they were playing really well, and they stuck to their game plan. Was it you, Gordo, that said they looked like the Leafs were the more desperate team?
Yeah, they looked. I thought they were Winnipeg tonight.
That was a great
playoff spot.
They did, and
I was due for a good point.
No, I mean, you're a professional broadcaster, Gordo. You have great points all the time, but I was really impressed with how good the Leafs looked defensively. And after the third goal went in, I mean, I'm hard pressed to think of a chance, really. I mean, they had some shots from the outside and there wasn't a lot, but like grade A's, they didn't have a ton of them tonight. So the Leafs did a great job of limiting a team that's fighting for their playoff lives. And they were really happy when they got to beat the Leafs. I don't know, when was that, November, that game? I mean, it looks like the Leafs could have just ended their season tonight. So that's just a little bit of sweet victory for the Leafs on that front. I'm really impressed with the defensive effort. And this has been some good wins, man. You know, you talk about that Devils game, whatever. You can talk about the Habs game on Saturday night where they really outclassed the Habs, lost. Panthers, great win. Bruins, great win. You look at this game. This team's really building momentum, going in the right direction towards the playoffs, fellas.
Sorry, go ahead, Gord.
Yeah, no, it's on the goal. Keep in mind, Sam McKee was going to give Jack Campbell an 8-year, $27 million a year contract back in November.
100% accurate.
About perspective.
100%.
McKee makes a great agent and a terrible GM when he's handing out contracts.
But I think these kind of games, just because you see Boston bounce back with an 8-1 win tonight over New Jersey.
8-1, wow.
Like Bruce Cassidy tore a strip off them how they played against the Leafs. And,
right.
You know, last year, I'm trying to, it was such a vanilla division by the end of it, the Scotiabank North, that, you think about it, it's not an excuse or cop-out, but this is a much better playoff preparedness schedule than the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You're seeing new teams roll in, and it just forces you to, you never want to say a team goes into a game half asleep or sleepwalking, but it forces you to wake up. Okay, the Jets are here. Okay, it's the Jets. They're not having the year they want. It's not Hellebuck. They played last night. But because of the way that last game went, you got to be ready. You need to know what it's going to be like. And it's just that I'm with you, Gord. The fact that you're just facing new challenges all the time. It's not, okay, ho-hum, here come the Canucks for the ninth time this season. Here we go. It forces the games to have more life. It forces it to kind of to have more juice. And I think that's what you're seeing. You know, one thing I wanted to pick up on here is the new look lines. Okay, so Tavares has had Mikheyev and Kerfoot alongside him. I've liked the way that's looked. Nylander, I've liked how he's looked alongside Kampf and Engvall and kind of more of that checking role there. But the thing with David Kampf, and Sheldon Keefe was banging this drum early on in the season, is I want my shutdown line when the playoffs roll around. I like how the lines look with the offense spread more out and Nylander on that line, but I'm not foolish enough to think that William Nylander is on your shutdown line in the playoffs. So I like the offense spread out, but I completely understand where Keefe's at saying, give me my shutdown line. I'll throw it to you, Gordo. What do you do there?
Well, he's trying these different kind of options, and one was this was a little bit to sort of make guys accountable. So Nylander, after Saturday's game, that was a part of it. But you're right about, and again, I go back to the era where Andrzejczyk got 50 goals, but Mark Osborne, who we see here as a scout here, the late Peter Zezel and Bill Berg were a great third line, the kind of line you needed when the Leafs had playoff success back then. Of course, and the same thing in Pat Quinn's run as well. They just don't jump out the same way those three did. I just remember Shane Corson shut down Alexei Yashin one playoff series, and they swept a higher seeded Ottawa Senators in four straight. So I'm liking all the options that he's throwing out there right now. But in the playoffs, you know, generally you're right. There has to be that Philip Deneau line that really can do the job that way, like the shutdown line.
I just don't think, and I this isn't what I think. I know Nylander and Tavares does not work together at even strength.
It doesn't.
And listen,
and here's the frustrating part about it is that because they're both so talented, they run into a hot 2 or 3 weeks together, and it's like there it does work. See, but over the long stretch, like I'm with you there.
So I don't know how much longer you can sort of bang your head against the wall with that. And I think the organization from the top down realized that there's probably a lot of meetings about what to do with that line. And I think what they've done here, it looks good. I think Nylander looks inspired in the past, how many games it's been since they've made that change. I think he looks a lot more responsible. Mm-hmm. I think he's tracking back. He still has the offensive dynamic part of his game, of course. But I really like what this has done to the lineup. And if I'm Keefe, I'm sticking with it. If you're going to do anything, it would be break up the top line, I guess. If that's the only way you can really change anything else. But if you're not going to do that, what he's done here, to me, is kind of the perfect thing. And, you know, we talked about it a lot today on Real Kipper and Born. The fourth line, we didn't love the change-ups because we saw Blackwell play center against the last game they played against Boston, and he played with Clifford and Spezza, and that was a good unit, and they had a really good game. And we were questioning why you would change it. And, boy, the fourth line tonight, they had one or two shifts where they kind of got caught in their own zone.
But for
the most part, they really did play on the other end of the ice. Obviously, the two, like, just having the physical presence, I have to say the fourth line tonight really did work, and maybe the coach knows more than Real Kipper and Bourne and me.
Well, I heard you guys talking about it. I thought that was I was about to say good. I don't want to pump your tires too much. It was an okay
conversation.
It was an okay conversation. But I do, to me, what that felt like was Sheldon Keefe not wanting to appear to be skirting anything. Mm. I think that was Jason Spezza has to play tonight.
Yeah.
And if you're going to throw Jason Spezza in there to be the, maybe red meat is too strong a term to the Jets, but if you're going to throw the guy in there who need Pionk, maybe you want his two tough guys on his flank there. So I'm with you. I think Blackwell did nothing to deserve coming out of the game. But like you said, I like the way the fourth line looked tonight.
And Simmons will probably get another one on Saturday against his former team. And then, you know, you go into those two games in Florida. And I don't know, Abrazeze?
He's going to play.
He's got to get in at some point. You have a few options that you can go to. So I think the fourth line's going to be a work in progress until they find something they like.
Where are you at? Like, so that's really interesting to me, Gord. The idea of, look, and we understand the you're going to sign a player like Abruzzese because you don't want to lose him. It's a college kid. There's some reason why you burn the year there. But this feels like a really – and look, it's you play him for one or two games, it doesn't work. But this feels like a really weird time of year to be trying to work in a new player here. You know, we know you do that at the deadline, of course. But, you know, this is a guy who's going to be making his NHL debut whenever he ends up playing. And it's just – I'm not saying it can't work or anything like that. But, man, it's tough to kind of – you're basically jumping on a treadmill while it's at full speed.
Quite the fire to throw a college kid into.
Yeah.
Well, and quite often they play one or two games, and then I would think they're cleared to go to the Toronto Marlies. Yeah. I mean, you've got – so that's quite often what happens, just to give them the taste of it. So so I've heard so many of these players. Christian Hansen was incredibly touted, and certainly Tyler Bozak did work out. But the key is going to be the guy, and that's where I think, you know, you're going to look at Blackwell. He's got to play a lot.
He does.
I mean, you acquired him, but this was written in stone that Clifford and Simmons were going to play in this game tonight. That's for sure. And you bring up a good point about Simmons. Even though he's had a few teams since Philadelphia, you owe him that. Like, you know, actually, speaking of older guys, I don't want to totally switch the conversation, but I'm kind of doing
take it wherever you want.
Just about Giordano, because here, a neat stat. He gets his first goal as a Leaf. So the other defensemen who've scored a goal when they're 38 or over. Now, Art Duncan, he's kind of there with Babe Dye.
A favorite of mine, to be perfectly honest.
But the other three were on that last team that won the Stanley Cup in 1967. Tim Horton, Alan Stanley, Marcel Pronovo were, all three were on defense the last time they won the Stanley Cup. And now, all these years later, Giordano added to defenseman 38 or older scoring a goal with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, and I'll throw one more. We discovered this when we were looking. I think we were doing one of the Leafs this week when we had our Sunday show there, Gord. And look, it's far from over. There's still a long regular season left. But Auston Matthews scores his 50th goal tonight. If he wins the Hart Trophy this year, he will be the first Leaf to win it in 67 years. In 67 years.
Yeah, since 1955.
Wow, boys. Really?
This is full-on misty-eyed, let's dream show.
Down Young Street towards front.
Here's the thing. Just whatever the Raptors' plan is, bump it out a little more. Just get it a little more developed.
Do not do that parade, okay? Oh, my Lord.
You can tell we haven't had one in a while.
No, it was very, very apparent that we were a little out of practice there. The Leafs, they looked in practice tonight. I can't get over how much I loved this game. And I think the fact that you could kind of corral your emotions. You're going to have games like this in the playoffs. Now, okay, maybe it's not going to be a 7-3 laugher against the team who you're never going to see again. No, it's going to be a 6-5 bloodbath against the Bruins or something like that. But a game like this, a night like this, with all the emotions in the air, the crowd going nuts, it honestly felt like a great dress rehearsal for what it's going to feel like trying to close out a game at home in the playoffs. To me, it really did.
Well, it's kind of like Winnipeg. You know, Winnipeg, we got that taste with Toronto last year. Here they are. It's a playoff game for them tonight. And not for the Leafs, but it's a playoff game for them. And they have a two-goal lead, and they blow it. And that's what we saw against Montreal, right? And then that's what, you know, has to be eliminated, those kind of things on the Toronto side. So it's about good habits, and there's so many different ways about good habits. And this time they reversed the script, which Toronto – like, you know, we're just chatting about it today that the best playoff performance was that first time they played six games against the Washington Capitals.
Caps.
Five games went to overtime. Leafs were up 2-1. Got the standing ovation when they got eliminated because it was novel being in there. And ever since then, there's been positives in the seven-game series against Boston, but not really in how disappointing it was to lose both those games. And again, playing your worst hockey when it mattered the most. And the same with Columbus and Montreal.
We'll always think of that Sunday afternoon, Gordo, when we were here. And they went up 1-0.
Morgan Rielly scored,
Yep, and then they scored a couple on the power. Anyways.
It was Easter Sunday.
It was.
That was weird because it had a weird vibe. I remember talking to Brian Burke for a while. He just happened to be hanging. Everyone was just hanging around a bit. It was just different.
Yeah.
Had a weird vibe, and then it seemed like all of a sudden, like whatever turkey, the Leafs had eaten Easter turkey. And it just all of a sudden, the air just came out of the building. It was because they could have won that in six at home, and they're up 1-0. Kind of an ovation like Auston Matthews got tonight. I mean, the building was dying, rocking. And then all of a sudden, the life got sucked out of it by their play.
Not to get too deep into the weeds, but it was 4-3 in the third. And I remember right here on this net, It was that
the same net Austin Matthews scored 50 on tonight.
Morgan Riley threw a saucer pass across the ice to Matthews, and it just skipped on him at the last second, and he was going to tap it home. Anyways, not to get too out of the weeds, but I will say that
we need happy memories.
I was
going to
say this really tells you a lot of what it's been like lately. Is a guy scored 50, they win 7-3. And we're sitting here talking about what could have been 100 years ago against the Bruins. Oh, just give us a if you have a game that feels like today in the playoffs, if that's what 50 felt like, if that's what beating the Jets 7-3 and Kyle Clifford fighting felt like, I can only imagine what it will feel like in this building when, finally, someday, please, they win a playoff series.
So just to go back, you mentioned Clifford there. So to go back to Simmons getting tossed out.
Yep.
So if Clifford's allowed to fight, and that's allowed to happen, then two guys that are beaking at each other and about to fight, that's the misconduct? I don't understand what they were thinking. They wanted to really calm it down?
I think good call by the referee. He's looking for any little thing. So then don't chirp then. Then if you want to go, just keep quiet and go.
I think what it felt like to me was it was like trying to throw a leash on a tiger once it's already running free.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to calm the game down.
I haven't seen that happen very often.
I haven't either. There was that Tiger King documentary. I don't know. It felt like early in COVID. I don't know.
They threw a leash on him.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's very right.
They made a season 2 for some reason.
But it's if you were hell-bent on getting the game under control and not letting that happen, it's a little late once Clifford and Dylan have already dropping the gloves there. Like, it just felt like it was a little too late. I don't think it's the end of the world.
No.
Other than the fact that, again, it's the exact same way the game ended last time, and that's why it got silly with Jason Spezza doing something.
But it didn't really
dumb.
Get that silly. And I
– No, not tonight.
No,
I mean,
no,
the
but,
last
but,
one. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the thought crossed my mind that something stupid could happen, but they were just defeated, which is probably the sweetest, you know – the sweetest feeling for the Leafs is that they didn't really have to worry too much about them doing anything, because you could tell that they were a beaten down bunch.
Well, there is. So, you know, we always talk about the Leafs behind the scenes video and stuff. And after the Jets beat the Leafs in the first game this season, I think it's Scheifele who walks in.
They have their
fighter pilot helmet, and he's nothing better than beating the Leafs. And I don't know. I don't think the Leafs are as petty as I am. But if they were, they'd be playing out in a loop.
I just don't think they care.
And they gave it to Logan Stanley.
And they gave it to Logan Stanley.
So, I mean, that is, again, the old fashioned bulletin board material. And then he would not respond tonight. He got challenged by Simmons multiple times during the game, and if you feel you're the undisputed heavyweight champion, like you played it up, you got to be expecting this next time you play them.
Yeah, I think it's all dead and gone now. They don't play each other any more times this year, so we'll have to wait and see. The chase for Austin Matthews now moves to 55 goals. I mean, I guess you'd like to tie Rick Vive first, and then you'd like to beat him. He has plenty of time left to do it. It's going to be a fun finish to the season. You know, with Matthews, obviously, you're looking at that number. He's going to have an MVP chase here going on as well. It is really, really interesting to see the way this season is coming tonight.
No, no, that goal was his 249th career goal.
Okay.
Which is a mind-blowing number.
Yes, it's a lot.
He's 171 goals away from tying Matt Sundin for the number one. 100, isn't it seem like it should be way more than that? Like, I know that's a lot of goals still, but that's probably what Ovi is close to being away from Gretzky or whatever. But the fact that he's already got 250 or 249 goals in his career to this point, it's unbelievable. It's just on a night that we get to sit here and actually see it happen and be in the building for the first Leafs 50 goal score, you have to take it in and appreciate how lucky Leaf fans are to be able to watch us every night. It's unbelievable.
It'd be interesting to look at that list too, just looking at that number. And, you know, just from different eras and dead puck and, you know, lower scoring eras, there would be guys who you think of as incredible offensive talents who don't have that much many more goals kind of in their career there. Like, it's amazing to see the pace he's set early on in his career. We sit here and, you know, just talk him up every single game, how good he is. Again, tonight he wasn't even that special, and he was still such a difference maker for this team. It felt like there were two or three times he had the great looks early on in the first period, and I guess it is a little bit, you don't love it on an empty netter, but I don't know. I don't think it matters at all one way, but if he had his druthers, you know, he would have loved to have gone bar down on the power play or something like
and,
that.
And, you know, another one when you talk, boy, that is like the Winnipeg Jets family and friends were gone after about 8 seconds.
Oh, my God, they're all gone.
Yeah, that was pretty quick, but well, I'm sure they're heading somewhere, but probably back home. But what bad luck for them about no Kyle Connor, who's their hottest player of late, and Nate Schmidt, who's one of their stellar defensemen. And my understanding is, as a lot of us have, I was in Florida, about a month ago, and man, oh, man, to get that.
Playing some pickleball?
To get that COVID test anyway, coming back was a real pain. Anyway, it ends tomorrow, but they were in Buffalo, and that's why they had to take COVID tests to come back to Canada, and Schmidt and Connor tested positive. So they're down there for a week. Couldn't play last night, can't play tonight, and won't be able to play on the weekend.
Tough break for the Jets. Great break for the Leafs. Gord Stellick, pickleball and triples tennis legend, alongside me, Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, thanks so much, Andrew Dutch, Holland, Danielle Furtado back in the studio. The Leafs, 7-3 winners at home tonight, back at it Saturday in Philly. We'll have the game for you right here. Thanks for listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network.